March has marched upon us, and it's time for more great, well, maybe at least slightly great, radio with yours truly. That will be Adam Lepp, of course. As we approach my next birthday here at the radio station, we give you a birthday or a Christmas present every single day with excellent talk, always a surprise or two, lots of wisecracks, especially when I'm in front of the microphone, and sometimes you never quite know what we're going to do. Sometimes I'm not sure what I'm going to do, so that's why it's always a good idea to keep your dial tuned where it is, unless it's online if you're not in or around the great city of Marion, Ohio. So what am I getting at? Well, this morning we start out the live programming with a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. And the professor is Dr. Ron Feynman from Boca Raton in Florida, the official presidentologist of this radio station and a commentator who often is, let's say, on the left side, but on some things he's kind of in the middle and like myself and kind of an independent thinker for some stuff. Let's check in there where it's much warmer than it is here. How are you doing on this fine early March day, Ron?
I'm doing fine. It's very hot here, though, already. While it's cooler elsewhere, it's quite hot here for March 4th. And actually, March 4th, today, Monday, is the old inauguration date of the President of the United States every 4 years through 1933, the first inauguration of FDR. After that, it was changed by the 20th Amendment to be January 20th. But this, you know, by March 4th, it's a very historic day for presidential inaugurations through 1933.
Something tells me that you would like to see today as an occasion, and I guess that would be in like an hour and 45 minutes or so, to inaugurate a new president right there at noon, but we kind of have Donald.
Oh, I would love if we could have, and not Pence. But yes, I would like very much, but we are, unfortunately, about 22 months away from the next inauguration and about 20 months away from the next election.
But we have the Donald for the time being, and much to some people's chagrin, to me it's mostly for entertainment purposes. I do find the guy very amusing, and I really think he's good to stimulate my interest in the news. As I mentioned previous shows, love him or hate him, he has made people become more cognizant of what's going on in the United States and the entire world around us. And I think that's a good thing, because some presidents really were kind of boring. For example,
that's true, but Donald Trump had a two-minute rant on Saturday, and he was all over the place and came across as totally mentally deranged to many people, very alarmed about his behavior, attacking everybody from the past to the present, still talking about Jeff Sessions, for instance, the former attorney general, he can't get over that, talking about Hillary, and people were saying, indeed again, lock her up. I mean, it's like nothing ever changes, and the man is very upset the past week because of the Cohen hearing and because of the disaster of, well, actually it was good, though, but the disaster, he didn't get what he wanted in North Korea, and also the vote in both houses of Congress on at least trying to stop the national emergency, although he'll veto it. So it's been a rough week for him.
But as I said, Donald Trump does provide entertainment value, and that can be good, that can be bad, and it does stimulate people's interest in the news. I kind of compare it to other presidents in my lifetime, both Bushes. I'm not saying they were bad presidents. Actually, my opinion of both is somewhat positive. Again, I do stress somewhat, not entirely. But they were kind of boring. Wouldn't you agree, Ron, especially following Reagan, who is just a very funny guy. And again, love him or hate his policies, neither of us are overly enamored with his policies. But as a man, we liked him. He certainly was qualified, and he was a very funny guy. But didn't you kind of find,
I would wish that Trump act like Ronald Reagan, yeah, but he does. That's
but
the thing, yeah.
Wouldn't you say that compared to Reagan, the kinder, gentler approach of Bush, number one, was a bit on the boring side, and Bush, number two, also, not really the most exciting person in the world. So, in that way,
I think more exciting than his father, though. More interesting personality-wise, I think. But I think the first Bush was much more substantive.
But, again, especially compared to Reagan. And as we often see,
yeah,
there will be a big difference from one president to another. We didn't really have much in terms of policy between Reagan and Bush, number one. Few people are as entertaining as Reagan. The guy spent a career in show business. It's not fair to compare him to anybody. Really, in that regard. So we weren't expecting as much excitement with George Bush, number one. And like father,
no,
like son, George.
Say,
yeah, George Bush, number two. I don't think he was as much of a stimulator to opinion and following events like Reagan was, or of course the current president, Mr. Trump, that we are referring to. But we
I was going to say, certain presidents really draw attention for their personality, so they stand out even if they're not always doing the, you know, what we might agree with. So I think Theodore Roosevelt is in that category. Franklin Roosevelt is in that kind of category. John F. Kennedy is in that category. I think Ronald Reagan is. I think Bill Clinton is. And I think Barack Obama was. Those are the ones that are the so-called stars as far as personality and following them. And, of course, not everybody agrees with everything they did, but they're sort of like the you know, the ones with charisma, I guess I'd say.
Right. Well, many of those presidents are charismatic, and Donald Trump, well, he's just something else. And that's, again, good or bad.
Yeah.
As I see it, he does stimulate people's opinions, and even if you don't like the guy whatsoever, that still is a good thing, because the president's personality is the leading personality in this country and in the free world, and it influences so many different things. So let's,
and that's why charisma will be necessary in the Democratic nominee for next year's election. If it's someone that does not come across as having charisma, I think he's going to have he or she's going to have a rough time, because I think we want charisma.
Right.
Of
it would appear that
a different kind of charisma, but
except
we want charisma.
For Sherrod Brown, who's not really the most exciting guy in the world. I'm not saying I don't like him for his views and his commitment to public service. He just isn't really that interesting, and he's not a very good speaker. But we have
His voice is annoying. He has a annoying voice, too, yes.
We have charismatic people, Beto O'Rourke, of course, and he's
More like Robert Kennedy every time I look at him, and it looks like he might be coming out in the next week or two as a candidate, as well as Joe Biden. And some people think that'll be the ticket, Joe and Beto, because he's 30 years younger than Joe, and could be the ticket, because Texas is crucial. He came close in Texas, to my Beto, than did Obama or Hillary. And if he could win Texas, it doesn't matter if he wins the Midwest. He'll win 38 if he's on the ticket, 38 electoral votes of Texas would go. The Midwest wouldn't matter anymore. That's how important Texas is, if it could be swung over by Beto or by Julian Castro, either as president or vice presidential candidate. Texas would decide the election if it could be switched to be Democratic.
I think Biden, Ron, he traditionally has not been the most charismatic or interesting person, but I think he has improved, maybe because he's become an item of curiosity that he's pushing 80. He's still is plugging in there, and he's had such a long career of public service.
Although 25 years, unbelievable. Yeah.
He'll never have the charisma of his former boss, Mr. Obama, or someone like a Kennedy, but I think he's improving in the charisma department.
But Beto could be a Kennedy. He looks like Bobby Kennedy a lot, although he's taller than Bobby Kennedy was. And he has a certain way about him. He might go all the way as a obscure congressman, only 6 years. But after all, Obama was pretty obscure when he ran. And Jimmy Carter was, who's Jimmy Carter? We might have someone there in Beto O'Rourke. I'm starting to think he might really be the way to go.
Yeah, just the issue with Beto is he has a rather serious criminal record. And it goes beyond the young and stupid.
It's an issue, but I don't know if it's that serious. Yeah, we'll have to investigate it.
Yeah. I'm not comfortable with it. Plus, he appears to be for open borders and a lot of other far left philosophies that I don't find to be cool. I find them to be dangerous. And no other way to say it. Yes, the guy has charisma and he is smart, but I wouldn't vote
for him. Looks good. Nice appearance.
Let me just say right now that if it's a choice between Donald and either Beto or Bernie, I would stick with Donald.
God.
I'm not saying I would be happy to do that, but I'd rather have Donald than either of the two aforementioned people whose nicknames begin with the letter B, and we'll kind of leave it at that.
Well, I would hope in that case you forget to vote.
Well, perhaps, but I think you'd agree, Ron.
But decide to vote.
Yeah,
no,
I don't
vote,
think you're overly enamored with Bernie or Beto, but in many times with voting, you're picking the lesser of evils, and
Beto, I still don't know enough about, but Bernie, I would not vote. Well, I'd vote for him if I had to, because I'm not going to vote for Trump, but I don't want him. I also don't think Elizabeth Warren is, in fact, already I see one poll indicate she's not doing too well in the New Hampshire. I know it's far ahead of the New Hampshire primary. I have a feeling she will not do well. I still think Beto is not as far left as them. We have to learn more about him and about his young record when he had some troubles, but I think it's still going to be necessary to move toward the moderate left, not the extreme left.
Honestly, Ron,
and I'm a progressive.
This might sound crazy. You know? I would probably vote for, let's call her Pocahontas, because that's kind of funny. I would actually vote for her over Trump, but I would not vote for Beto or Bernie.
But Warren's pretty close to what Sanders is, don't you think, from what we know?
I see her as being more traditional and more of a realist. She's not in the fantasy world.
Hmm.
And I like the idea of having kind of a female loudmouth in charge. I kind of like that idea. I think we need that. That will shake things up.
And she would really answer Trump in a debate. Boy, oh boy, would she?
Yeah,
it'd be some
theatrical
performance by both of them.
She has that slightly naughty appeal to her, and you know she is very smart, and
she is
experienced. Yeah. I can live with her far left philosophies. I think she understands, as an experienced politician, there should not be open borders. We need to reform immigration, but you don't just open up the gates permanently. That's not how things function. That's not what our country was built on. And I think she realizes that. I'm not saying she would be the top choice, but I would be intrigued by her as a president, and I would feel comfortable voting for her. I would say a more moderate vice president.
I'm impressed.
would be a good choice. And if she were to pick Beto, that would make it a very difficult decision. So let's hope she would pick somebody young, but in the middle.
Younger than her, because she'll be 71. She has to pick someone younger.
Brown is a VP. I like the idea of an Ohioan. Again, he's not the most interesting guy. He's in the late 60s, I believe. But if
he'll be 68 at that point,
if
2020,
For the record, if there were a ticket of Brown and Warren, I wouldn't object, and I would gladly.
Warren and Brown, it probably would be, not Brown and Warren.
Yeah, well,
I don't think Warren.
Exactly. Well, I'm doing it in alphabetical order. Okay. So
okay.
Ticket of Warren as president and Brown as vice president, but it could also be the other way around. I do think Warren,
but
though,
71 and 68, they'll be pretty old, not young. Yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of people are saying now they don't want somebody who's on Social Security age. I don't know. That's going to be a big problem. There's quite a few who could be over 65 who could be running, including
for the record, you'd like to know.
The Washington governor, Jay Inslee, is in his late 60s, too.
If you'd like to know, for the record, what pair of candidates I would pull the lever for. Of course, we don't have levers or hanging chads in Ohio. We have touch screens. So whichever pair of candidates I would touch the screen for over Mr. Trump and Mr. Pence, I would go for Warren, pending a reasonable choice for vice president. And Brown kind of comes to mind. If it were O'Rourke, I'd have to think about it because I don't like the guy. I don't trust him. Besides his far left beliefs, he has a criminal record, and I'm not talking about a couple traffic tickets either, or just the DUI. He's got stuff more serious. I don't care if he was young or stupid. When I was that age,
you need to look into that more. I think you're exaggerating his so-called criminal record. I don't know enough yet to debate you on it, but I think it's a minor thing in a college campus. I don't think
last time I looked at
it, for sure. I honestly don't know.
It was pretty serious, and it were multiple offenses. But I we need to research it more. But we shall.
Well, it will be if he's running. I wanted to ask you the one thing. You talk about Trump against Sanders. What if Sanders ran and he's out and Mike Pence is running against Sanders? Would you not vote, I guess? Or would you vote for Pence?
I will not vote for a socialist. And I don't make a determination difference between democratic socialist and socialist. Sanders is a socialist. He is full of you-know-what. He makes promises to people that will never be kept. And if they were kept, our taxes would probably be over 100%, if that's possible. And who knows nowadays.
Would you vote for Mike Pence, who's anti-gay?
Yes, I would vote for Pence over Sanders. I wouldn't be proud of it, but
you would not just stay out of it? I can't believe that.
You would have to be really bad for me to vote.
I think that's worse. Being prejudiced against any group, I think, is far worse. But that's my view. Of course, we can have our disagreement. I just think it's the most important issue is not someone who's a racist, a homophobe, or a misogynist, or a nativist. I don't like that.
I'll say two things. Economically, I really do agree a lot with Pence, and that's, of course, very important. No, I don't like his people beliefs. They stink. And I also find them unconstitutional. It's not really built. They're not based upon the principles that our country was founded upon. But compared to Sanders, I would reluctantly vote for Pence. And I know I wouldn't be proud of it.
So you would prefer the first lady to be Mike's wife over Bernie's wife? I'm joking now, but I'm just saying, what would you say about the wives?
I can't say I'm too pleased with either of them. And I would certainly say that we would go from the most beautiful first lady to the one of the worst looking first ladies. Not to mention first lady I probably would have the least amount of liking for. So I wouldn't be proud of it. But yes, I would vote for Pence over
Sanders.
Let me
ask you this. There's five women running for president. Tulsi Gabbard, the congresswoman from Hawaii. Of course, Warren. Klobuchar of Minnesota. Gillibrand of New York. And Harris of California. Going on the issue of looks, who do you think is the most attractive of those five women as far as looks?
Well, I'm not sure what a lot of them look like. It's kind of hard to say. I would say
my choice would be between. I would say that Tulsi Gabbard is very young, only 37. I think she's very attractive, but I don't see her as serious. But I think either Harris or Klobuchar. I don't consider Warren as far as looks particularly anything. And I don't like Kirsten Gillibrand because of what she did to Al Franken. I can't even consider her. But yet, if she was a nominee, Gillibrand against Trump or Pence, I'd still vote for her. Wouldn't be happy, but I would not vote for Trump or Pence.
Right. Well, bottom line is, let's hope that the choices I make involve someone that I'm at least give a B-minus to. And if it's a choice of Pence versus Sanders, neither gets a B-minus. Pence would probably get an F-plus, and Sanders, I don't even count him because I consider him to be anti-American. And I don't want him anywhere near the White House.
Plus, that's funny.
But yeah, I give him the plus because economically, I would tend to agree with him. He does have a more gentlemanly nature about him, and certainly compared to our current president, I find that important. That was an appealing quality of Obama, and I think we need more of that. But in general, I wouldn't be overly proud of my choice, but it does seem like every time we have hopes of someone we like. But it ends up being the lesser of two evils.
Have no perfect candidate you can think of right now.
Not too many. I think Hillary's pretty good, but who knows what's going to happen with her? In every election, she gets older, so I don't know.
Yeah, if she was to run, I think she divides the party. So, do you actually think Hillary might be better than any of the people running?
I would put her up there. I like her. I think Kane was not a good choice for VP. I think she suffered the same fate as. McCain, that's the guy who picked.
Well, McCain is not the same as Sarah Palin. Not that bad, but not exactly exciting. But
right. In both cases,
a poor choice
was made for VP. McCain just isn't interesting. You need someone with charisma, and that's where I'm thinking.
Brown is not charisma, so maybe Castro should have been picked, the housing secretary, Mexican American, who's running now. What do you think?
Castro would have been an excellent choice for Hillary, and if she would have picked Castro, she would be the president right now, without any doubt.
And maybe he's a good choice to run for. You know, he's running for president. Maybe we should have a Mexican American member of cabinet.
I have no problem with
Bill Mayer as president. Yeah.
Right, with Castro, I don't know enough about him to make a definite determination, but from what I've seen, I do like. And I think Hillary and Castro would have been a great choice. I agree. Just like McCain, if he would have made a better choice, he would have won.
Maybe Lieberman. He was going to pick Joe Lieberman, fourth party ticket, but he didn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, he would have won there. Yeah, Lieberman's kind of interesting. You don't know what religion he is, and you don't know what party he is. I thought he was a Jewish Democrat, but. Maybe he's not.
He is a Democrat, but he became an independent when he lost the Democratic primary in 2006 for the Senate race. Yeah, he is a fairly conservative Democrat for a Jewish Democrat, yes.
I guess he's kind of like Bob Dylan.
He's also too old now. Now he's definitely too old, but I'm just saying.
Bob Dylan, he switches his religion back and forth. He's gone Jewish to Christian and back to Jewish. I'm not sure what religion he is right now. So I guess Joe Lieberman's kind of like the Bob Dylan of politics.
He's an Orthodox Jew. He's Orthodox Jew. That he is. He doesn't do anything on Saturdays. He's never been Christian. No, he's very Jewish.
Yeah.
He's an Orthodox Jew.
I guess it was more a question of how much was his religion a part of his politics. And I guess that's
very supportive of Israel,
which
has become a controversy now among progressives, but also much more economically moderate or conservative, So that's why a lot of Republicans, William F. Buckley Jr. of the National Review, the founder of the National Review, the conservative periodical, Mr. Conservative who pushed Reagan, always said Joe Lieberman was his favorite Democrat.
we look at religion and we look at Pence, who seems to inject religion into everything. And I guess I'd give Lieberman credit, although his religion's very important to him, he doesn't shove it in your face. It's like, okay,
he never did.
And that's the difference between himself and Mr. Pence. And maybe Mr. Pence should take a lesson from that. I bring up, as I brought up many times, Ferraro, a very devout Catholic, but didn't force those beliefs on other people. And she went out and said it. The big thing is a current issue that's always controversial, abortion, that she, as a Catholic woman, was not pro-choice, but as a politician, she felt being pro-choice was the right thing. And it took a lot of, as Jewish people say, chutzpah, to say that.
Yes.
And I respected
her.
But
Mike Pence believes in theocracy. He wants church and state combined. Right. He wants to end all abortions and any gay rights as far as equality, and is against gay marriage. And his wife, of course, teaches at a school, teaches art at a school that doesn't allow gay or lesbian or transgender, you know, students or parents or faculty or staff. And that, I think, is unacceptable in a vice president.
Don't disagree, boy, you know? But that's what I said. If it's a choice between Pence and Sanders, I would very reluctantly choose Pence. And I'm not saying I would be proud of that. I give him an F plus. The plus is only because on the general economic beliefs, I would probably agree with most of his opinions. And also, he does have a more gentlemanly, professional demeanor to him. But everything else...
I would try to convince you not to vote. That's what I would try to do.
Everything else, not too cool. But I will not vote for Sanders. He'd have to be running against somebody really, really bad in order for me to vote for him. And I'm not sure...
Well, who could be really bad enough that you would vote for Sanders?
I don't know.
I can't think of anybody.
I can't think of anybody that bad, but I'm sure he or she exists, as it's a pretty big world out there.
What about Rand Paul? Would you vote for Rand Paul over Bernie Sanders, Libertarian?
I definitely would pick Rand Paul. Yes, again, not necessarily saying
I would pick Rand Paul. Oh my God!
Right. Wouldn't be overly proud of it, but you gotta pick. And you know, as you know, Ron, people staying home or voting for doing a protest vote like. Voting like Gary Johnson
Jill
last
Stein
election.
Or Gary Johnson was a waste,
Those will swing the election, and for Johnson, it swung it in Trump's favor. So go ahead and vote for the candidate of your choice.
Stein,
it was obvious whom I chose last time, but this election, let's hope I have two people that I like where I can say, no matter who wins, I'm going to like the person. That would probably require that Trump lose the Republican primary, and that is a possibility, but
what we really need is what I always wished had happened in 2016. Joe Biden against John Kasich. That would be a very good election. And you probably vote for Kasich, or would you vote for Joe if it was that?
I would look at the VP, and I would look at their issues, because, you know, people change their issues when they run.
Yeah.
I would probably
think...
They're
both good, though. Joe Biden and John Kasich, I think, would have been the ideal election. Right. But we never get the ideal election.
Right. And neither one is overly good in the charisma department. But I would probably pick Biden, depending upon whom his pick was for VP. Because you have to look at a couple...
What if it was Joe Kennedy III? No, you probably wouldn't vote for Joe Biden, then, would you?
I would probably favor my fellow Ohioan, yes. Joe Kennedy III... I doubt I would vote for him.
You don't like chapstick, right?
Yeah, well, I like chapstick, but I don't like open borders.
Not the chapstick kid, as you call him.
Yeah, well, I don't like open borders, and therefore I would not cast my ballot for him unless Kasich...
And you don't like chapstick lips either.
That's okay. It's good when your lips are well moisturized.
And
I wear chapstick myself, but I'm careful just to, you know, because I'm light-skinned just like he is, and I make sure the chapstick goes on my lips and... That's about it. Maybe he should.
One thing is, that's something that's going to always haunt him, like with Marco Rubio grabbing for the water bottle. It's just going to always be a joke about them, you know?
Right. Well, that and the booster chair for Mark Zuckerberg, when you find out Mark Zuckerberg only 5'7", because you always think of he just seems taller. I don't maybe because he's skinny and because he's a multi-trillionaire. I don't know, but didn't realize he was only 5'7". So I guess the water bottle, the booster chair, the chapstick, those would be the comical stories of 2018. So.
Yes. Short people rule the world. Napoleon example.
So anyway, we're halfway done with the show and haven't even started on the three topics that were on the agenda. But that's kind of how it is with Ron and myself. We're sitting there like two friends having a cup of coffee and shooting the breeze. So without further ado, let me see if I can grind out these three topics.
Okay, I'll keep quiet and let you control the show now.
Well, as you may have noticed, Ron is a New Yorker by origin and does kind of like to talk, but that's okay. Talking is good.
As if you don't.
we talked about a Mr. Jordan last week that we both, well, at least I admire him.
Oh, my God.
At least I admire him. I don't know if you do, Ron, but of course that would be Michael Jordan. We admire him.
Michael Jordan.
Right.
Yeah, that's another thing. Jim Jordan suddenly runs for president against Bernie Sanders. What do you do?
I didn't say we're not going to talk about Jim Jordan. I just said that Jordan.
That would be really the ultimate.
Right. Jordan is a common name, and we both.
Yeah, Michael Jordan is good.
Right. We both admire. I certainly agree that superior athletes are like American heroes, especially in basketball, which is a very American sport. Michael Jordan, a great role model. very rich man, but he's made his fortune the honest way with selling overpriced sneakers and playing a pretty good game of basketball and being in the sports ownership business. So let's turn our attention to a different Jordan. Of course, that would be our local congressman here in Marion. We salute his long career of service, but we don't always salute him as a man or salute him on his issues. And of course, that is Mr. Jim Jordan. Now, yesterday, Ron, you watched him on Meet the Press or one of those morning talk shows, and it seems like every time he gets in front of a microphone, and that includes our microphones when he talks to Scott Spears, he doesn't like to talk about these controversial issues. He seems to evade them. And as I see it, as a public servant, it is his duty, his moral duty, to talk about things that he's asked about, especially when he's quite right in the middle of it. Because when he doesn't, I tend to get out the G word, G standing for guilty. So bottom line is, Ron,
yes.
What was your impression of Mr. Jordan's interview on Meet the Press on Sunday morning? What did you get out of the interview?
He's very combative, and he defends Donald Trump and attacks Michael Cohen as if he has nothing positive to say because he's been convicted of lying. The only difference between Michael Cohen and Trump is that he's been convicted of lying under oath. But the fact is, Trump lies all the time, and Cohen was one of his willing participants, and he's destroyed a lot of people's lives. Those people around him that all end up falling, and some of them end up in trouble with the law, and he has not yet faced the music out, President. But to me, to defend Donald Trump as he's doing and be so rude and nasty in the hearings on Wednesday, to me, it just adds to, in my opinion, Jim Jordan as a terrible House member, in my opinion. But I know your district nearby is just listening, probably thinks I'm crazy, but I think Jim Jordan is not a good congressman based on how he conducts himself. And still want to know about that Ohio State wrestling situation that Scott brought up to him a while back, and he's never really answered on that, has he?
He doesn't seem to want to answer those questions, does he?
Yes.
And that's really a shame. It makes it sound like he's guilty, because if I were not guilty, I would want to talk about it. And that isn't looking very good. We like our politicians to be ethical. And it seems like even when people are ethical, they rise to a position of power. And all their previous ethics kind of go down the drain. Even Donald Trump, he was a different man. I think you'd agree, Ron, when he wasn't president, as a businessman, a TV show host, he was a controversial character. But I don't recall him being this controversial or being this divisive. But that will happen. And no,
because he wasn't a political figure, he was just a public figure, but he certainly ripped off enough contractors and workers and businesses and went bankrupt enough times. I wouldn't call him having a wonderful, honest life, but it was just different because he was not a politician then.
Right. But as I've mentioned, and I've talked to Scott on the air, I do not like Jordan's attitude, and he was rude to Scott. Scott being his constituent, and our radio station being his constituent, he needs to answer the question. Scott was very polite to him. He wasn't accusatory. He just asked. And the guy skirts around the issues, and it seems like, Ron, it seems like a lot of politicians do that, which means they're probably trying to hide something. And I'll keep that in mind when it comes time to decide who will be in that office, because he's not made a good impression.
But it's going to be hard to defeat him in that district, because he's going to be the Republican. I'm talking about Jordan. He'll continue to be the Republican nominee for Congress, and the Democrats don't win your district there.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that.
What do you do? I think it might be good in the Republican primary to have a good, strong candidate running against him. I think we do need a change. He's obviously getting comfortable in the office. It's like, well, this is my job, and if he were to be voted out, he'd have to get a different job, and maybe he should do that.
Maybe be a wrestling coach again.
So I don't know.
I'm being nasty. I shouldn't be that way, but that's the way I feel.
If he knows about the situation, Ron, and he's not guilty, he should be willing to talk about it. That would gain a lot of points with me. I said, economically, like with Pence, I tend to agree with conservative Republicans. Other issues, well, certainly I don't agree. But economy is important to me. Immigration is important to me. I imagine I see mostly eye to eye with Jordan on that, but as a man, especially with him being our local congressman, we're talking about not someone in Alaska, someone right here in Marion, Ohio. He needs to answer questions when asked. Ron, from talking to Scott, he's a fair interviewer. He doesn't accuse people. He just likes to ask a question. And Jordan had a chance to come clean, and he blew it. And that isn't cool. And that's something we keep in mind when it determines whom we're going to support. And it looks like on Meet the Press, you kind of witness the same kind of behavior. Like he thinks his job is cushy, he's comfortable in it, and he's above answering questions that that anybody else would answer. Like when you go to a job interview. And to me, it's like if you're in politics, your job interview is every day. And if you don't believe that, then your head has gotten too big, and you're no longer an effective office holder. And I guess we're kind of seeing that. So leave it at that. It's certainly a touchy issue. He is our local congressman. I don't for a minute, deny his excellent career of public service, but he needs to perform those jobs, those taxpayer-funded jobs, in a professional manner and answer questions that are asked fairly. And maybe he needs to work on that. And we'll just kind of leave it at that. That sound fair, Ron?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Just want to check there down in Florida where you are, and here in Ohio where we are, and getting a
my
little
district. I'm just saying, but people get the person they want, and I just think he should be investigated further about that scandal that has not been explained. That's all I'm saying.
So we're speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman, the official presidentologist and political commentator here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. That was the first of three of the topics that I wrote down after we spent about 20 minutes shooting the breeze about presidential candidates and who's got the best-looking wife and all that good stuff. The second topic is a lighter one and a happy one. We welcome back to the airwaves Mr. Mike Essen, who is a neighbor of yours there in Florida, Ron. And he tends to the right, but again, as we are in some issues, he's kind of in the middle or independent. He's been a radio host. He took a sabbatical, but he is back, and we're pleased to have him, as he's a smart man who we enjoy listening to. Regardless of whether or not we agree with him, we do enjoy listening to him. And big news is, Ron, you will be on the air with Mike Essen a little later this week. Why don't you tell our listeners what to expect and let them know when they can tune in to hear this debacle?
Okay, this is going to be on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday, Eastern Time, 7 p.m. East. So I guess it's the same time there as here. So it'll be 7 p.m. for your listeners. And I'm going to be debating the person who ran the Trump campaign in Dade County, Miami, in 2016, and who is a total Trump supporter. So it should be a very interesting debate for an hour with, of course, Mike Essen deciding what questions to ask. And we'll just be back and forth, and we'll see how it goes. But my intention is to always be cordial and pleasant and not be rude, and I hope the other side will be that way too. But obviously we have very big differences without a question. And I gather that Mike Essen told me that this person I'm going to be debating has a friend who says, and I thought this was alarming, the friend said that he thinks that Donald Trump is the greatest person since Jesus Christ. I hope this person doesn't say that, because then I'm going to lose my cool if he says that. I'm assuming he would be more serious. But anybody saying the greatest person is Jesus Christ, there's definitely a mental issue problem there, I think. Well, but this is not him. It's a friend of this person. So I hope it doesn't come out that way that he's going to say that. But we'll see.
If it does, though, that will certainly be a stimulating discussion. Remember, Ron, keep your language at the G level. And
yes, I want to be cordial, but I'm not going to tolerate somebody saying something like that. I'll say, are you for real? I mean, I won't use bad language, but I'm not going to just sit by and say, no, I will not do that if anything crazy like that is said. That is a lunatic idea that somebody would say that. But I think, all kinds of people, and you know, they have a right to their view, but I'm not going to just sit there quietly to that.
Yeah,
no.
I think we'd agree, Ron, that as radio people of sorts, Mike Essen's a good radio host. He does give ample time to people, whether or not they agree with him. He speaks well, and he's got good opinions. You don't have to agree with him. That's part of talk radio, and I admire the guy. I'm glad that he's back. I missed him when he was out for a few months, and he's back. And no doubt, better than ever, we do encourage folks to listen. Also, Scott Spears spoke with Mike Essen last year. It's in the archives on the Now with Scott Spears section. So if you want to know what Mike Essen is like, listen to that program and form your own opinions. I think it'll
and
be.
Also, he was on the show with you and me one time, yes. I guess. It was
and maybe we'll have him again as a little debate with kind of me.
That'd
with
be
my
very good, yes.
Eclectic views, Ron with his left views and Mike with his right views. And we can talk about baseball or something else where we all kind of agree and maybe talk about something where we don't agree. That might be amusing. And as we've mentioned, Ron, he's not a tremendous fan of Donald Trump. He likes some of his policies.
He was originally, but now he's given up on Donald Trump. Right. That's what he tells me. He likes some of the things he's done, but he basically does not support him anymore. He did back when we were on together and all that. So he has transformed himself and come to the conclusion that he thinks Trump is dangerous. So that's, I think, a very encouraging thing that I found someone who actually learned and thought about it and changed his view rather than just stick to the old Tea Party idea. You know, so I am impressed with Mike Essen for that reason.
Right, and that will add a stimulating aspect to the discussion. And if that person says that Donald Trump is the greatest person since Jesus Christ, that's likely to really set the sparks flying. And so,
this is Thursday of this week, which is March 7th, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, The Mike Essen Show. I hope everybody listens.
Yeah, I would say be there or be square. It will be stimulating radio for sure.
Yes.
And last but not least on my list of things that I wanted to talk about, Ron, is a story that's been going around the internet about Walmart and its store greeters. And as pretty much everybody in the world shops at Walmart, we are aware that many store greeters have a disability, and it is a job that is disability friendly. And that's great, as you're not going to find someone more in favor of the ADA than myself. However, Walmart has decided to modify the position of the store greeter, and store greeters, I think they'll be given a different name, will be required to do some lifting or things that someone who uses a wheelchair or has some other disability may not physically be able to do. And there are
going to be laid off.
Right. There are people that are saying, well, that's an ADA violation. That just isn't fair. Well, here's my opinion. I don't see the ADA violation. Walmart, as a profit-making company, has a right, if not an obligation, to act efficiently and obviously make modifications in the positions that are provided to people. It is unfortunate that a disability will stop somebody from being able to do a job, but there's no grandfathering with that. The job description can be changed, and I'll put this out there. I personally find store greeters to be a completely useless position. I don't need to be told good afternoon when I walk into Walmart. I know it's the afternoon. I don't understand really what purpose they serve. And I think it's a very good decision. Yes, it's unfortunate. And I do feel for disabled people, especially the disabled person who is a subject of this story. But that's how it goes sometimes. I certainly have suffered consequences due to limitations that I have. I'm not saying it is necessarily as serious as this, but we all have crosses to bear. And that's how I see it. No company should be required to keep somebody in a position because that person would not do the new position. And it seems like, Ron, you don't agree with me at all. You feel there is an ADA violation and that Walmart is acting unethically. I don't understand. I mean, share with me why you feel that way, why your opinion is not the same as mine.
Well, this is a company where the four heirs to the fortune of Walmart have as much wealth as the bottom 60% of the country's total income. Four people have as much as the bottom 60%. And the point is that this is going to start a trend. Other corporations are going to say, ooh, we could save money. And everybody who's disabled and not able to do more, you know, that kind of things like lifting 25 pounds or going up a ladder, et cetera, are going to be laid off. They're going to be in poverty. They already get some government funding. It's true, you know, through Medicare and Social Security disability. But the fact is that they're going to live in poverty and have no purpose in life. They're not going to have any chance to do a job and know they earn a living and feel like human beings. And that is against the whole concept of the ADA passed under George H.W. Bush. And I think when we start to say that disabled people are disposable because they can't do what everybody else wants and that they should just live off, you know, government funding, when everybody's talking about too much welfare, too much spending on you know, by government cut to social welfare programs, I could see a time coming that Mike Pence would say, we can't afford to keep on supporting these people on Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and people like him on the far right, and we'll have people on the street and not have any kind of financial support and have no self-image, no dignity. So I'm furious at Walmart. But Walmart I've never gone to. I've gone to once. I think the stores are horrible. I don't like the way they operate. And I just think for four people of that much wealth to be so damn greedy and to be so hardline on their attitude, I think is disgraceful. But I know we don't agree, but that's the way I feel.
Do you think Walmart has an obligation to hire somebody for a job that isn't necessary just because that person has a disability? That's what it sounds like to me.
And I said, the point is, you say not necessary. It used to be Walmart was pleasant when people came in. Now they're even I know people go to Walmart. They're not even friendly. They're not supportive. The whole atmosphere is screw you. You're just here, do what you want. There's no such thing as any cordiality at Walmart anymore. It used to be that that was a plus for Walmart. Built up their industry. I mean, built up their company. And to me, everything now is just save the dollars. So they already pay their workers low wages where they get food stamps and other things because they don't give them adequate, adequate pay or benefits. So we're basically supporting these people on food stamps and things like that because Walmart doesn't want to pay. And I say they should be required, and all corporations should be required to pay their workers a decent wage and benefits so that we do not have to support them on the government payroll and then have people say we should just wipe out all these social welfare programs of the New Deal and Great Society, because that's where it's going. It's what's going to happen, I think, over time.
That's not what I asked you, Ron. I asked you about the store greeters and a position that I don't think is of any value. Should they be obligated to pay somebody for a job that is not needed?
They should find some kind of a job at a desk where they can do something where they, if it's not going to be, say, good morning, good afternoon, but just to dump them on the street, people that have worked for years, part-time in most cases, but it gives them dignity, it gives them self-worth, they have a purpose in life, they go to work rather than sitting around the house. I mean, people are always complaining about people don't want to work and they live off welfare. Well, the disabled want to work. And yet now they're being told, we don't need you anymore, and we can't give you any other kind of a job. And I think that is the responsibility of corporations and industry to do that.
I think it's ethical to try to reassign people, but you can't do that to everybody. And companies are allowed to change their positions, change who does what. It's a touchy subject. And again, you're not going to find anybody.
It is touchy. Yeah.
You're not going to find anybody more in favor of rights for disabled or ADA than myself. But I am a realist and a little biased. Yes, I don't understand the concept of store greeters. I find them annoying. I never talk to them. Maybe I'm just snippy that way. I don't know, but I talk like it is. And I would agree with Walmart's position. I think it would be very ethical, certainly, to reassign. And I think they probably are. I think they're getting bad press. You're being very hard on Walmart. There are obviously good and bad aspects of any business, and we have nice Walmarts and less than nice Walmarts. Most of the ones I go to are very nice, especially the one by my house.
Well, the same with Amazon. Amazon has become a behemoth, much too powerful and much too belligerent toward its own workers, working long hours. Many of them end up going into hospitals because they were overworking hours. They get hurt. I mean, I think Amazon and Jeff Bezos is also a disgrace, the way they operate. And they need government regulation. This party, this country now does not want regulation. So we're going back to the Gilded Age mentality about corporations. Yeah. Let them just do what they want and no regulation. Well, and I don't think that's right.
We may save this for another show, Ron, but I certainly would say you're being quite tough on two companies that might be considered evil empires. And
I think they are evil empires. So they're out of control.
It is it's a sensitive topic, and I don't like to see anybody lose his or her job because the position has been changed. But that does happen sometimes. And
it's going to be hundreds of thousands now, probably a few hundred thousand there. And I'm willing to bet other corporations are going to say, good idea. So we're going to see a massive layoff of disabled workers who will be told, we don't need you. Go back home and just stay at home and live off welfare, which is not very much anyway, and live in. It's almost like we don't want to see you guys because you look weird or you act weird. That's what it's saying. Yeah, I think it's a terrible message.
I think you're greatly exaggerating, Ron, and not all greeters are disabled. Many are elderly.
But the elderly also, they want to work.
Exactly. And I will say that someone who is disabled or elderly, you'll often find one of your best workers. I know my own experience. Yes. People with disabilities are some of the greatest workers you'll ever find, which also
should be an
incentive for Walmart to try to find a new job for some of these people. But I also don't think they should be crying about it. It's America. We have free enterprise, And that comes.
Well, what about having them be on the phone? There'll be people on phone things involving phones with these businesses. They could sit at a desk and talk on the phone. In most cases, anyway, do something. But they just seem to be ready just to dispose of them.
No problem at all, Ron, because store greeters they are involved in talking to people and more than likely have excellent communication skills. I would have no problem at all with laying off or terminating some phone workers who have gotten less than stellar reviews and replacing them with disabled people who were store greeters. I think that would be a wonderful idea. So let's end the show on a positive note. I think you just solved the problem, Ron. As someone who's worked in phone room jobs, something I did for many years, and I don't want to sound boastful, but I was very good at it. But, radio and telemarketing, phone customer service are kind of the same skill set, and we'll say telemarketing pays better. But other than that, the skills are similar. Many disabled people I work with, I can think of people who are blind, use a wheelchair, had disabilities that had nothing to do with their ability to perform in a phone room. And I think that would be a wonderful idea. I think we can reassign disabled people who were store greeters. We can't do it to everybody, but I think that can be done in many cases. And yeah.
See, we finally more interesting jobs than just greeting somebody. Actually, being on the phone would be more interesting.
No question. So I think we just solved the problem. See, we think we disagree, but we end up shaking hands and saying, "There's the answer." So let's end the show on a positive note.
Agreeably, because you and I are great friends.
Right, and I know too. As an adult, most of my jobs have been in areas where people can be disabled and often do a better job than someone who isn't. As disabled people have great work ethics, computer tech work, web development, programming, radio. There are a lot of people with disabilities, blind especially, in the radio business. I can tell you that right now. And since it's just a voice, you don't know. I guess that's part of the fun. You don't really know what someone looks like behind the mic. With the age of Facebook, you see all of our photos. But when it's just a voice, you don't know a lot more. And that certainly adds to the intrigue. In terms of a wheelchair, that has very little to do with your ability to perform in a phone room or on the radio. So, yes, I think we answered the question, Ron. I would have no problem.
I hope so. I hope they take up that advice, honestly.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, Walton family, if you're listening, or Sam Walton up there in heaven, if you're listening, that would be a great idea. And maybe we just solve the problem. See, that's how we do things here at The Talking Place. We not only debate, we talk about stuff, we ponder stuff like political candidates. We also solve the world's problems. And on that note,
I hope we can. We're trying to. In any case, I thank you again for inviting me.
Thank you, Ron Fineman, for being with us on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Good luck in your adventure with Mr. Essen this Thursday.
And we could talk about it next week, I guess.
Sure will. Have a great rest of your Monday. And thanks, as always, for being part of The Talking Place. WWGH Radio.